Marvin, how are you?
I'm good, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Tell us about Trinity Church.
Well, Trinity Church, that's a great place to find community, and we, you know, really trying to be a church that is more focused on the community as opposed to focusing on the inward nature of the church. I mean, we're taking care of people inside the church, but we want to be looking more outside. We believe that the best of Trinity Church happens outside the walls of Trinity Church and not inside the walls.
How many members does Trinity have?
We probably, on the weekend, we probably see about 3,000 attendees. Membership, I'm not really certain of the membership, but on a weekend, a given weekend, you'll probably see close to 3,000, if not a little bit over 3,000.
Trinity is the big church located on Jolly and Dunkel, and Marvin Williams is the senior teaching pastor, and Marvin's a different kind of cat when it comes to preaching. Everything is biblical, and he ties it into what's going on in today's world, but he uses a lot of his personality in it and makes receiving those words, Marvin, pretty fun.
Well, yeah, one of the things, I got my start in terms of communicating, I got my start in children's ministry. I was a student at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Deerfield, Illinois, and my pastor put me down with the children one Sunday and said, "I want you to serve the kids." And it took one Sunday for that glaze over look in the kids' eyes or for them to use that B word, boring, for me to say, something, I need to do something different. I need to make sure that I'm connecting with whatever audience that that God places in front of me. And that just started me on a journey of being able to use everything at my disposal, from object lessons to slang, the music to language, you name it. I want to use it. It's God's anyway, and so to be able to use it and deploy it to reach people is something. It's just one of the things that I've learned to do, and I believe God has gifted me.
And do people who like their preaching done in a conservative manner, do they have challenges with your style?
I suppose they do, but I think if you can get individuals to laugh at themselves, smile at themselves, become nostalgic over something, whether it's music that they used to listen to or something they used to say, it becomes a non-issue. And I'm quite sure there are some individuals who say, "Okay, Marvin, cut down on text messaging slang or other using the word dude and cat." I suppose that they would probably say, "Okay, we don't want to hear any of that. Let's just stick with what the text says." But Phillips Brooks says that preaching is truth told through personality,
mm-hmm.
and that's I want to use the personality that God has given me to communicate His word.
Well, I like to use the word dude myself, so I believe it's an adjective that we can use. how'd you know that that was your calling? How'd you know you were going to be a preacher?
At 16 years old, I had a pastor who cared about young people, who cared about giving. Leadership opportunities to young people. And so from I was this Sunday school superintendent, junior deacon, I reviewed the Sunday school lesson. I was raised Baptist. And so, if you know anything about Baptist, you had Sunday school and BTU and a lot of other things kids were involved in. And so my pastor had a heart for young people. And then I made, as I began to grow in Christ and, share my faith, and in Chicago, I began to ask this question. It's probably a mistake on my part. God, what do you want me to do? And I was singing in a choir. I can't really sing, so I guess the next best thing, God says, "Okay, I'm going to call you to ministry because you love to talk," and that's exactly what happened. I began asking God, what do you want me to do? And He began to answer in very, very certain terms that I was going to be in full-time ministry.
All right.
I didn't know if that was going to be, preaching, or if it was going to be in another capacity. But to this day, this is what he's called me to do.
Well, this morning I am going to be talking with folks from different faiths. We're going to have a Catholic priest on. We're going to have someone who is with the Muslim faith, and I don't mean to put the weight of the Christian world on you, but what I wanted to ask you is what Christmas means to you, what you're going to be teaching this weekend, and what do you think Christmas means for Christians?
Yeah, again, I think... because of the long history of Christmas and different dates and those kinds of things, I think the dates are inconsequential. I think the key is the birth of a Savior. That God came near to us, and He invited us to be in relationship with Him. And it's unfathomable, it's unthinkable that God would invade our world as a baby. And we get a chance to celebrate that afresh this year, and this weekend we're going to be looking at the birth story, the birth of Jesus, through the eyes of the shepherds, and I'm going to do a dramatic monologue, and so I'm going to kind of take on the persona of the shepherd and one of the shepherds and tell the story through his eyes, and then Sunday we'll talk about the Magi. And how they traveled a long distance, led by a star, to come to the crib, to come to the manger, and we're hoping that that people will make their hearts Jesus's crib all over again.
What do you tell folks who don't believe, who are non-believers, who come at you with the I need to see evidence, I need to see God to believe it, and if there was a God, how come all these horrible things happen?
Yeah, again, I think some people look at the Bible and they look at it as a book of fairy tales, a book of myths. But when you look at some of the writers, particularly this past weekend we talked about Luke. Luke was a medical doctor. He was a meticulous medical doctor as well as a historian. And so he actually interviewed individuals so that the story that he has, the story that he's written, the story that we have in our Bible, is not a fairy tale, but it's an eyewitness account of individuals who saw Jesus, who lived with Jesus, who saw him do the kinds of things that he did. So we have a book that is credible, that is believable. And so I think that's one place where we have to begin. And then the other thing I would say is just come and see. Come and see, investigate for yourself, and you'll see things, and you'll at least have your heart open to what God says and what's before you. Come and see. I tell people all the time that if this is not true, then I've not really lost anything. I've met a lot of good people. Tony, you're pretty cool. Met a lot of cool people, lived a pretty good life. And if I die, and when I die, I've not really lost anything. But if it's all true and we don't believe it, then when we die and get to the end of our lives and die, and we find out that it was all true, then that person has lost everything. So come and see. And investigate for yourself and see that that Christ was truly real and that he can change your life.
And finally, Marvin, do you feel a sense of pressure? Because, a lot of people are going to be coming to church tonight and this weekend who don't normally come, or people are coming in to investigate. Do you feel a little bit more pressure to try and touch these people?
Man, I feel pressure every week. Because I'm handling God's word, and I want to do it in such a way that number one, I please an audience of one, and that's Him. And then secondly, I just want to make sure that I'm preaching a message that's understandable, and I want for those those ones and twos, people who are just coming back to church or stepping foot in church for the first time. I want them to know that that you are accepted. You're not looked at. You're not excluded. You're not an outcast. You're not an outsider. You are accepted, number one, by God. And hopefully, you know, as you walk through the doors of Trinity Church or any other, that you'll be accepted by those people as well.
All right, Marvin, what time are your services tonight and this weekend?
We have three tonight, or three today, one at 3 o'clock, one at 5 o'clock, one at 7 o'clock. And then we have two services on Sunday morning, one at 9 o'clock and 11. I think it's 9:15 and 11 on Sunday. And so, yeah, we have five this weekend. And then Saturday, we typically have a service on Saturday at 6. But because it's Christmas tomorrow, we're going to obviously have tomorrow off.
Marvin, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Tony. Appreciate you, man.